3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Hit Chat Group Chat. We got the whole gang here. We have myself, Connor Reynolds, JP Fischone below, Connor Burns to the side. JP, how you doing today, sir?
Good, good. Like I've said the last couple of weeks, things are slow, but it's giving me time to do some other fun projects that I don't normally have the time to do, which we'll get to in a little bit. So, excited for that kind of stuff. And I know the kind of storm of big off-season downtime projects is coming. So we're trying to enjoy the slow periods because there's not many of them.
Hey, embrace it, baby. Embrace it. Mr. Burns, how are you, sir?
Opposite of JP. I'm in the weeds right now. We are recruiting for next year's programs. I am sending out and getting videos to get our guys recruited for next year's college season. I'm booking times all over Edmonton because we're still not in the fucking new place. And then also I got tryouts for my summer team, which I have to do. And it's just, it's just shit show. And I'm moving. So we're in the shit right now.
Loaded up, baby.
We're in the shit right now. I am extremely.
You're not in the weeds, dog. You're in the Amazon rainforest. Like, you are machete in hand just trying to chop down. I love it. I'm sure you don't love it, but I love it.
Hey, I'm handling it. I think I'm doing a good job. So
Let's go, baby.
Best. How are you doing, Red?
I'm doing good, man. We have some new technology that I think I kind of figured out today. So the program that we use to record all the sessions is called Streamlabs. It's actually what we are currently recording this on. And there's a way to do instant replay, and is something that I like when I first think of the instant replay is something I'm like, we don't necessarily need that. Like, I have the Hit Tracks where it shows the instant replay, and then in my head, the instant replay kind of more so for like if you're playing like Call of Duty and you get like the final kill or something like that, you click instant replay, it takes the last like blank amount of time and puts it over the screen that the viewers can see and like replays it. And I'm like, I don't need that necessarily, but in looking in the description of it, it actually will take however the amount of designated time that I've had it be, it will then also save a separate video. So my head starts going. I don't technically need the instant replay on the screen, but if it can automatically chop like a 2-minute video and set it aside as a separate like entire video, now as I'm going through, I've started wearing a microphone again. I got rid of the microphone a while back ago because the microphone I had didn't have a noise cancellation, and so it would pick up all of the music that's being played. Then I would get in trouble with copyright, and it would mute all of my audio. So I was like, all right, well, I don't need that. Now I've got a new mic, so that way it actually does cancel out the music. Only my voice is getting heard. Going back through, I'm going to be able to start doing more like TikTok clips and Instagram reels and stuff like that. Because instead of me having to go back through, look at the full video, chop it all up, do this or that, I can just hit save last 2 minutes. If we go through, something good happens. Now it's a separate video. I can go in and then directly put that out to all the content. So really excited about that. I'm going to be playing around with that. So we might be seeing like clips on clips on clips on clips on clips coming content out, boys.
Content, baby. I love it.
So yeah. I'm really excited about that.
Sick.
I know, JP, you've got it down the rabbit hole for us. But before we kind of jump into that, Fast Performance put out a little picture today, a little meme of guys saying like, hey, you know, it's 2 weeks before tryouts are coming up, at least here in Colorado. I got to start getting my sessions in. And it's like a little clip of this dude eye rolling. We're getting a few more guys that are coming in and doing that. Are you guys seeing any more rise of guys looking to try and come out the last couple weeks or 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is, and try and nail everything out? Are you guys seeing any of that?
Definitely get a lot of that online, like with remote athletes. And, you know, some of the guys, it's just kind of a natural reaction. And other guys, it's like, all right, dude, like you really haven't done much to get ready. So now we're, here. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, don't swing at sliders and hope they miss over the middle of the plate. but yeah, I mean, every now and then you get a high school kid roll through and he wants to do a swing design. And you're like, I don't know. You weigh 130 pounds and you haven't done anything all off season. So I don't know what to tell you.
Good luck, bro.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, we'll see you next year.
See if you can take a Besser up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I find more of like the, oh, it's like, damn, I'm not that much better. What happened? It's like, well, you gained 5 pounds. You're not that much stronger. I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, but it's, I'm helping out, but like, you gotta put in the work, dude. So I don't know. Yeah. It's tough for those. Cause it's just like, I feel bad sometimes too. Cause then it's like, they get that kind of realization. It's like, what the hell was I fucking doing? Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I can tell you.
And it's one of those where I went through, and we're going to get into it in a little bit. We did our kind of like 3 month assessments from November last week. And part of the assessment I went through, I've separated all of my guys out by grades, what grades they're in. And then I went through and I found the average of every single one of our grades, what their average bat speed is, what's the average max bat speed of each guy, blah, 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 a bunch of different things. And the other thing that I did is I also have been counting how many sessions kids have been attending in between assessments. And it's absolutely mind-boggling that the more sessions that kids come to, generally, the more that they have increased from their first assessment. And I've also put in where I count how many things we call movement days. Essentially, it's just like aqua bag stuff, med ball, hip mobility, yoga stretches, where we don't hit a single ball during it, but essentially we go through and do the swing movement. And it's almost like the more kids attend those sessions, the better they get as well. And so I don't know. I thought that was kind of like a weird correlation, that the more you come, the better you get. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Nah, dude.
I thought it was.
We talking about practice. We even talking about the game.
Yeah. I mean, shit. It's just those who hit. That's just as simple as that, man.
Yeah.
Those who hit.
You got a high school kid like that right now. And I kind of got into it today with him because he was like, yeah, I'm not wearing a blast. And I was like, yeah, like, what's up with that? He was like, yeah, it just feels weird on my knob. And, like, it comes off sometimes. And so I'm not going to use it. And I was like, oh, so, like, we're not lifting. I've been getting on you about lifting. All you do is ask for one-on-one swing designs every day. But we're not lifting. You don't do any of the drills that I program. And you're not going to wear blast. And you're asking me why your exit velocity is down. So I don't really know what to tell you, dude. But if you're going to be here, you might as well do it. And if not, we're just not, I'm just not really going to coach you anymore. Like, we're not doing swing designs. We're going to kind of let you do your thing. Cause you obviously want to do whatever you're going to do. So that's cool. And he was like, whoa, no, it's not what I mean. I'm like, well, it might not be what you said, but that's what you're acting like. So, that's what I got for you. You know, I'm just giving you some feedback.
Bro, kids are crazy. I had going through kind of something similar to that. I'm working with an athlete, and this is like their first, second. They came in for an assessment, I think, and this is like the first like regular session that we've done. And it was lucky because he was paired up with somebody that has started coming maybe a month and a half ago, but the partner that he was paired with has been coming 2 times a week. So he's been a little bit more accelerating and kind of understanding stuff. And hitting with this kid, and we're hitting off of the machine. And I don't know what was going through this kid's head or whatever, but essentially, like, he thought he needed a swing when the ball was already hitting the back net. Like, it's like ball shoots, ball hits the back net, now we swing. And, you know, I'm going through, I don't know if you guys have noticed this. If you ever ask a high school or like just amateur general athlete, if they were late or early on a couple of different swings, the answers you will get will baffle you.
wild.
Baffle you. And wild. I'm going through, like I said, this kid is like literally waiting till the ball is like being thrown back by the catcher before he starts to swing. And I'm like, hey, like, do you feel late or early? Like, I'll generally just kind of throw that out. He looks at me and goes, I'm early. And I was like, okay. Like, if you're early, make your adjustment, whatever you think you need. We go through late, late, late. And so I ended up having this athlete. I go, all right, I want you to have your trigger for your swing. And I actually wanted to talk to you guys about that. I actually use the word, if you guys haven't checked back to the last week's podcast, like I use the word trigger all of the time, actually. And I've used it for a long time because I equate it to the trigger of a gun. Like, what is the thing that sets your swing off? Like, you could cock it, take the safety off. You can do all these other things. But until you pull that trigger, like, your swing's not going to go. So I actually use it a lot. If you guys don't know what the hell we're talking about, check out last week's episode. Or like, what is, like, I want your trigger. I want your the start of the swing, not your stride, not your low. Like, I want you to swing when this ball shoots out of the machine, and I want you to swing so early that you are actually missing the ball. Like, I want it the ball to be passing you as your swing is finishing. He goes, okay. Late, 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 late. So I come down, and I was like, hey, like, what's going on? What are we feeling? And he goes, I don't know. I'm just trying to hit it the other way. And I go, why? And he's like, oh, I don't know. Like, I've always been really good at hitting it the other way. So I just want to hit it the other way. And I go, have you ever considered the fact that you're really good at hitting the other way? Because that's the only way you can hit because you're literally late on everything. And he goes, what? I go, what did I tell you I want you to try and do? And he goes, you told me to try and hit it the other way. I go, first off, not even remotely close to what I asked you to do. And he goes, well, like, I didn't want to do that because I don't want to be too early. I go, well, luckily right now we don't have that to worry about. I go, because I don't think you physically can be early right now. And so, like, as I'm saying it to this kid, I look at the kid that's been coming for a while. And by a while, I mean like 2 times a week for the last like month and a half. And I go, I'm going to put my fingers in my ear and I'm going to just be walking to the other end of the cage. I go, I want this kid, the one that's been here for a while, I want him to tell you how weird we do things here, but how well it works. If he thinks it works, if he doesn't think it works, like, I want you guys to be honest. I walk away, I go, la, 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 whatever it is. I come back and I go, okay, I don't care what he said. I don't care if he said it's what we do is good. I don't care if he says what we do is bad. Like, I just want you to try and just dive in head first, like, into what we're doing. I go, I want you to be so early that you don't make contact. He goes, okay. Shoot this pitch, and he hits it to the right side, but he hits it well. And I go, good. Like, that's what I want you to do. And he goes, but I wasn't, like, early with it. I go, I know, but did you try to be? And he goes, yeah. I go, so are you starting to notice? I go, that is what actual late timing is. I go, and how early did you feel like you were swinging? He goes, I felt like I was swinging before you even put the ball in the machine. I go, so are you starting to understand like how late you actually are? He goes, yeah. Literally by the end of the session, dude is barreling baseballs, left side, center, like everything like that. But it wasn't until he actually like, I don't know, listened and kind of like bought into what we were trying to do for it to click. And I just kind of like go back to like that first thing of, hey, I want you to be early. Okay, okay. Late, late, late. What are you trying to do? Hit it the other way.
Hit the other way.
Like, what are we doing, buddy? What are we doing?
Yeah, that's always the best with athletes too. I think my favorite is the, are you under it or over it? Like,
I don't know.
Under? Like, wait, are you just telling me that? Is that a guess or is that, I don't really know. Like, okay. Right. Well, that's a problem.
It's mind boggling.
Like, my favorite is I don't even ask them. I just will ask them, hey, what's going on? What happened there? And like, they'll be like, oh, I'm doing this, doing that. I'm just like, no, what's going on? Well, I did that. Yeah, you did. But like, what's going on? I was late. That's the problem.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Earlier.
Yeah. Because the first response out of their mouth is like, well, my left pinky toe wasn't grounded. at a 90 degree angle.
And you're like, yeah, but
your point of contact was 6 inches behind the back of home plate. So maybe that's a bigger
issue. Broke the catcher's hand.
Yeah, maybe that's a bigger issue than your pinky toe being out of position.
Like, man, just fucking, and they just like, just simplify. Let's just simplify it. Like, holy Christ. No, yeah, that shit kind of is happening, but that's not what the fuck is.
I'm not worried about that right now. Or like you said, Bryles, where it's like, hey, I want you to pull the ball. Well, I don't want to get spinny. And like, I don't want to like lose pot. Bro, I guarantee
not an issue.
If you lose posture, I will be shocked. I will be shocked because I have not seen you hit a ball to the left side of the second baseman all day. it would astound me if you struggled to hit the ball the other way when you're trying to pull it. It would astound me.
I had this one guy, so we're going through, and this is a different kid. He was being a little bit late on stuff. And I was like, all right, like, I want you to pull this pitch. Like, I want us living on, and we always have Fenway set up. Shout out to the default setting and me being lazy. But for me, it's also like a really good marker. I'm like, hey, like, I want you to hit it over the green monster. So that way we're getting air, pull side, getting used to that, right? Now, I'm not telling him, hey, I want you to air, pull side, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, hey, hit it over that giant green thing on the TV. Okay. So this kid goes through, and again, keep in mind, kid was late, right? Goes through, rolls over on two pitches, and gets mad at himself. And I was like, hey, like, why are we getting mad? He's like, oh, like, I'm rolling over. I was like, yeah. I go, is that closer to the green monster than when you were flaring stuff to the right side? Yeah, but, like, I don't know. I'm getting here. Blah, blah, blah. I go, you realize, like, what, like, rolling the ball over means? Like, do you know what that means? He's like, I hit it to the shortstop. I'm like, yeah. I go, but that also means that your bat was so early in the zone that you were actually finishing your swing. I go, have you been early at all yet? Sits there for a little bit. He's like, no. I go, all right. So guess what? This is a good thing. Like, this is what I was wanting you to do. Now let's work to hit it up the middle. Next three are barreled in the left center gap.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, what coach is the guy that I'm paying money to is actually kind of have an idea of what he's doing.
That's what our pro group loves to chirp like the trainers about stuff like that. They'll be like, hey, so like, where are you trying to hit this? They're like, bah, you got me. I was just trying to hit it. Okay, where are you going to try and hit this next one? I'm going to try and hit it at the shortstop shins. Okay. And it's just like 102 in the gap. Then they just kind of look back and go, you know, somebody should pay you to do stuff like this. It's like, yeah, man, weird. Like, yeah.
Man, I've been fucking pounding my head into a wall the last month on just external cues. Like, the amount of conversations I've fucking had. And, like, the higher up it kind of, like, goes, it kind of clicks. But, Jesus, like, my, like, 14 to 16, like, we'll talk. And, like, I'll tell them, like, hey, man, just think about hitting, like, a ground ball up the middle here. They're popping up. Line drive. Like, oh, wow. And it's like,
no,
okay.
No way.
Week later, same thing. I'm like, man, what did we talk about last week? Oh, this works for me. I'm gonna fucking write this down. I'm gonna remember this. Okay, that's gonna be my one thought when I hit now. Like, yeah. It's just no. Like, Jesus, guys, like, help yourselves out here. It can't be coming from me, man. You guys gotta
Coach, what's happening? Well, Jimmy, what have we talked about the last 14 times you've been in here? We were talking about trying to hit ground balls. Yeah. We should probably start there. Try that. Yeah. See, Reynolds is one step ahead of us.
We literally have notes of every single session that we do where there is a whole category called takeaways, where it is solely their words. Whatever the fuck they're taking away from this lesson, I write it down in their words. And my favorite, I had this one kid. He was actually in today, and I want to talk about it a little bit with him. He's an eighth grader, right? The dude, like, doesn't understand that you have to swing, like, level to the pitch or maybe a little bit. Like, my guy should be fucking up in, like, Washington with the fucking lumberjacks because the man just chops wood fucking daily. And for like a month, we've been working on like not chopping down, where I've had him do where he sits there, one, two, three, swing. I'll have him have his start with the bat on the ground and swing up from the ground. Like, we are literally trying to do anything and everything in this fucking world. So this man does not have a consistent -3 attack angle on every fucking pitch that he sees. Something finally clicks. Something fucking happened where I can't remember like what exact drill it was, but like something clicked for him. We write it down in the takeaways. I literally see him like 2 days later. We show up, goes through, he gets done with his warm-up. And I go, hey, how are we feeling today? He's like, oh, good, blah, blah, blah. We get through like 5 or 6 pitches. And I just looked at him and go, hey, did you do that one drill I wrote down that you said worked out really well in your warm-up? And he goes, oh, no. Okay, like, why not? And he goes, well, I thought I had fixed it last session.
Hey, buddy. All right, I'm a pretty good hitting coach, all right? But I'm not that good.
I was just like...
Yeah, I thought we checked that off the list. It worked once, so I thought we were done with that.
I was like, I was able to watch 6 pitches, and I knew immediately that you didn't do it. I go, how long? I go, how old are you? And he's like, 14. I go, how long have you been swinging the way you were swinging before you saw me? And he goes, ever since I was playing. I go, okay. So that's like what, 12, like, 10 years, you know, 8, 10 years of you just doing the same thing over and over. I go, when we did that one drill, 15 swings, you think that's going to reverse like 10 years of your swing? Of course. Oh, I didn't really think of it like that. It's like, yeah, no shit. Like, yeah. You got to keep doing it there, buddy.
It's wild. The thought process, the way the brain works, it just baffles me sometimes. I'm like, how did that idea pop into your head? And then how did your brain go, yeah, that's a money idea. That is perfect.
I did it last time. I'm good now.
Yeah, we're good. Oh, yeah. And then I think back to all the shit I did growing up. And I'm just like, well, nah, it kind of makes sense. I was the exact same guy. I was just like, bah, I got that dialed. My T swing feels grooved. I am roping balls off the tee.
And then, I don't know. I'm going to keep just kind of throwing out stories until you guys hop in or shit, I run out. And then JP's ready for his down the rabbit hole. But. So I just got done working with a bunch of 6th graders, a team of like 5 or 6 that are coming out. And today we're doing a drill. It's kind of like horse. I call it bat. They just self-toss, hit it, and they have to call out like either using hit tracks, like double in the right center gap, single left side, blah, blah, blah. Or they can use like markers inside of the cage, back net. We have a couple targets hanging up, little things like that. So we're going through and... Pretty early, the kids realized, for some reason, every time they called a single or a double, they were out in the infield. Like, ball's not even getting past the baselines. And they're going, oh, whatever. Like, brr, brr, brr. That's a base hit. That's this. That's it. Blah, 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 blah. So then they started going more just, you know, back net, L screen, this or that or that. So then we go through and we're doing front toss. And same thing. They're hitting balls. They're like, oh, I'm not out, blah, blah, blah. So I set them down. And I was like, all right, how big is this cage? How big do you guys think this cage is? And they're throwing out everything from 60 feet to 100 feet. I'm like, okay. I go, actually, it's about 65, 70. They go, how big are you guys' base paths this year? Obviously, they didn't know. So I look over at coach. I'm like, coach, you know, how big are the base paths? And they go, I think we're at 80 feet this year. Gentlemen, your base paths are bigger than this cage. Like, first base is further away from you than the end of this cage is. So just hitting it to the end of the net, just hitting it to the back cage, like, you are not hitting that very far. And I have, like, them kind of, like, looking at me like, what? And I was like, all right. So this one kid comes up. hits a ball, barely makes it to the back net. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Turns around, and the shortstop's running in to field it. And unfortunately, like, I think it did kind of click to them of like, oh, like, I am not hitting this ball hard at all. But to, like, see all of the, like, process go from, like, oh, I scorched that ball, turn around, and it's not even making, like, second base. And then for kind of going, like, oh. And I was thinking about it. I still have high schoolers doing that shit. Like, I still will run into a high schooler that's like, oh, like, I don't know. I just work to the back of the cage, back of the cage, back of the cage. And I'll show them. I don't know if you guys have done it, gone through the Rapsodo hitting certification. They have a really good picture where they literally take a cage and put it on the field and just show, like, how big the cage and the field, like, correlation is. And it's mind-boggling. And I don't think enough kids, like, necessarily understand that until they, like, get out onto the field. I don't know. Have you guys, like, ran into anything like that either?
Yeah, I mean, that's just like, I mean, that sounds like me growing up. Like, honestly, that sounds like me. Sounds like me my entire playing career. It's just like, I am a roping balls to the fucking middle of the back of the net. I get in the game, I'm like, why do I only hit singles? I don't understand. I want to hit for power, and I just can't.
Yeah, it's just one of those fucking things. It's they're also 12. They're idiots.
Yeah. That is very true.
When you said, yeah, I had a group of sixth grade, and I was like,
oh, God.
Miss me with that shit. Miss me with that.
I've decided, too, it's just something about, like, athletes. Like, it doesn't matter whether they're, you know, 30 and in the big leagues or whether they're 9 years old. It's just like, you're an athlete, you're an idiot. Like, you're just going to be, you're going to be kind of dumb. And it's just kind of the way it is.
You got to be the right kind of dumb. There's a right kind of dumb. Like, I got some fucking dumbasses, but like when they're hitting, like I see them working and I'm like, okay. You're an idiot. Like when you get a bat in your hand, you know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. They get some guys to go the other way where they walk in the cage and they're like, oh, well, you are way too smart to be hitting.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Dude, you fucking hit the ball 75. Like, chill out.
Yeah, it's fine.
So, I had a kid, and this is honestly like my favorite story to tell because I love this kid to death. He's not playing anymore. But, like, God damn it, I fucking love this kid. So we're going through, and I think this was their junior year. I'm coaching my USA Prime team, whatever. All my guys are going out to tryouts and stuff for their spring. All of a sudden, I get a phone call from one of my players, and he calls me and he goes, Coach, I won't be able to play this spring. I'm like, what the fuck happened? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. He broke his kneecap. You might ask, how does someone split their kneecap inside high school tryouts? Well, they were running like home to firsts, and the coach had said run to the wall. This wall is about 20 feet beyond, like 10 feet beyond. Homeboy literally tries running all the way to the wall and high knees a brick gymnasium wall and breaks his kneecap in half.
Oh, no.
And he is a kid that's like, you have to be very specific about shit. Otherwise, whew. And immediately when he calls me and he tells me that, I go, did they tell you to run through the wall or like run to the wall? He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn it, dude.
Hey, whatever coach says, you know, I'm doing it. I'm
one of my best hitters. He was one of the best hitters because it was just like see ball, hit ball. And that was literally the thought process.
No, it was bad. Man, I have a good story about a sixth grader. I might get you to cut this because it's just. It wasn't even me. It was my other. So it's like I got the. There are a couple 13 U's. So like, great sixth grade. They come in on Wednesday nights, and then I have them on Saturday mornings. They're a nightmare. Just two of them. They're a nightmare. Anyway, we're working on external cues and just being like, hey, so every time they come in a cage, hey, what are you trying to do here? Like, what's your one thought? And, you know, usually it's like, oh, line drive out the middle, whatever. And my co-coach, Ethan, he goes, Jacob, what's your one thought? And he just goes, Joseph Stalin. And he was like, what? He's also the same kid. He'll take G hacks. He'll hit up. He'll hit, just piece one up, and he'll just gritty out of the cage. He's a fucking psychopath. Unbelievable.
That's why working with younger kids is fun, though. You just get wild stuff.
He's whittling out of the cage.
Amazing. He'll do like, we'll do our tramp holds before he throw, and he just loves the trampoline. He'll just be doing like 50 of them. Like, you gotta stop. You can't do that many. Two sets of eight, dude. Stop. It's incredible.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
So to slightly on top of that, so the kid that decided to like try and run through the wall, one day before a game, I would literally walk as they're playing catch. I would walk by every single kid and just ask like, hey, How's the mental? How's the spirit? How's the physical? Like, where's the body at? Everything like that. Walk up to him and, hey, like, how are you feeling today? And he responds with blueberry pie. I was just like, what? Like, you're feeling like a blueberry pie. And he goes, honestly, coach, it's my favorite kind of pie. So, like, feeling pretty good.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man. Hell yeah. And so
every game after that, I was like, hey, like, what kind of pie are we feeling? And one time he was like, pecan pie. And I was like, hold on.
Is that bad?
What the fuck does that mean? And he goes, I hate nuts, coach, and I did not sleep last night. It's like, gonna be a rough one, all right.
That's incredible. Oh, blueberry pie, baby. Hell yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
Well, all righty. Is good time for your down the rabbit hole?
Yeah, we'll transition to something a little bit more.
a little bit more dense.
But we'll see what happens. I did put it into a slideshow, a little slide deck. So it's going to be a little bit more professional. I know.
My God.
It's not going to be me rambling as much. So like I talked about last couple weeks, gym's slow. Not as much athlete time I'm spending, so I just kind of have a lot more free time. And what do I just decide to do with my free time is stare at motion capture data because I'm a nerd. And so we had talked about last time or the time before about posture and maintaining posture in space and what does that look like. And so I spent the day the other day kind of just amateur data scientist I am. Trying to kind of tackle that problem, at least a little bit. And this cartoon I have is hung up in our R&D lab, and I think it just so perfectly fits with just like the first process of like solving scientific questions, which is just I have an idea, but I don't think that it's good yet, because who knows? And that's kind of how I felt about this whole process. As I kind of went through it. So when we think about maintaining posture, maintaining spine angle, I think about a fixed axis that the body is going to rotate on. Like that's a pretty standard way to kind of imagine that happening. So my thought was, well, let's find two points. Let's draw a line through them and let's figure out how much that line moves around. And that'll kind of give us an idea of whether an athlete is maintaining posture better than another athlete. So what we have here is kind of the raw markered model from an athlete. And what I'm going to look at trying to do was trying to take a point from the torso and a point from the pelvis and kind of draw a line through them. Well, we have the right hip joint and the left hip joint. And to be perfectly honest, I kind of gave up on trying to find the exact middle of those two points. So I said, you know what, we're just going to take the center of mass and call it kind of close. you know, close enough. So we're looking at the proximal thorax marker, which is kind of dead in the middle of the chest, just above the sternum. And then we're looking at the center of mass. So we're going to take those 2 points, draw a line through them, and that's going to be our spine angle, quote unquote. And the hypothesis was that, okay, higher level hitters keep that angle the same more often than lower level hitters. And so the way that I went about doing this, instead of trying to map angles and use my cosine and sine, stuff like that, I just took the distance in one direction, figured out what it was when they started their swing at their trigger, when they started their swing, or what we mark as downswing, and compared that to contact. And the idea was like, okay, if the distance between those 2 points stays the same, then they've maintained their spine angle really well. If it gets closer, then they have, and if it gets further apart, then they have it. And so I started with the Y direction, which is going to be this distance here. So looking at how close to home plate that center of mass and that thorax, proximal thorax marker is at their downswing position. So subtracting the thorax position relative to the ground, the global plane, or the front right-hand corner of home plate. And looked at how far away it was essentially to home plate, subtracted that from the center of mass position from home plate to get the distance between those 2 points, and then subtracted that from contact. So we're figuring out how much that distance has changed between downswing and contact. And looking at the Y direction, kind of running through our database. So this is a distribution chart. So the higher the graph goes, the more swings had that outcome or that distance change. And then organized by playing level. So we got our college, high school, independent, minor league, MLB guys. And you can see for the most part, guys at every level pretty much end up in the same spot. The distance doesn't change that much. The only real outlier here is our independent group, who has this weird, wonky little line. And the more I looked into it, there was kind of just one athlete that was skewing like all the data in that direction. So we'll kind of ignore that for now. And so since everybody kind of ends up in the same spot, you take some swings and you miss sometimes. And so, you know, is what it is. Not going to find much insight there. So I moved on to the other direction. We're looking at the X direction now. So closer to the pitcher, further away from the pitcher. Same math. We're going to subtract, find the distance between the 2 points, and then find how much that distance has changed from downswing to contact. And when we look at this distribution plot, we start to see a little bit more variety between the different playing levels. So you can see that purple line and that blue line are minor league and major league guys being a little bit more negative than kind of the rest of our group. And negative in this sense is going to mean that the distance between those points got further apart with the torso position getting closer to the catcher. So they're essentially kind of quote unquote leaning back as they're swinging. From downswing to contact, their chest is getting further away from their center of mass as they go to swing. Which in my head was like, that seems wrong. That there's definitely something wrong with my code. There's no way I did this math right. It doesn't seem like dudes lean back. Because in my head, maintaining spine angle, if anything, higher level dudes, I expected to lean more forward to try and maintain that posture as much as possible. But just looking at the distance only gives you like one idea, right? It only gives you one kind of perspective. So when we break it down between the difference between those 2 points, how much that distance has changed, and the distance that they started with. So in this first column, we have each of the different levels, and then we have the average distance that it changed for that level. And then the second column, we have the difference at downswing. So how much distance is there at downswing? And then the last column, we have how much distance is there at contact? And when we look at the contact column, we can see everybody kind of sitting pretty much in the same range, that 0.1 range for the most part. And when we look at the average distance at the downswing, there's a little bit wider gap when guys start their swing, with our MLB guys actually being negative. And the only other group that's also negative is our youth guys. So negative meaning that they have their the distance between their torso and their center of mass is a little bit more forward. So their torso is actually closer to the pitcher than their center of mass is. And now, granted, it's a pretty marginal distance. It's very small. But compared to like our college guys who are three times more distance in the opposite direction, so their torso is actually back closer to the catcher than their center of mass, that's a pretty wide distance between those two playing levels. And so the idea, or kind of my theory going off of this data, is that the distribution graph that we're seeing, the explanation for this isn't that higher level athletes are leaning back as they go to swing. The explanation for this is that higher level athletes just start more forward. And so the distance that they change becomes greater, even though everybody kind of ends up in the same position. So yes, to some extent they are leaning back, but I think it's coming from the fact that lower level athletes just start back there. And so their distance doesn't change as much in the X direction, right? And so to kind of put this a little bit more visually now, we're going to look at kind of the opposite extreme. So this athlete had the highest distance change in the positive direction. So his torso is getting closer to the pitcher relative to his center of mass, which you can obviously see like pretty drastically, ignoring the massive pelvis. You can see pretty drastically that torso just leaning forward towards the pitcher. And yeah, it's just a pretty obvious example of what kind of that positive distance change is. And then we have kind of the opposite example where we're leaning back now. And you can really see, if you can catch the first couple frames of this clip, how forward this athlete is when they begin their rotation, and then how much they lean back as kind of a result. So that distance is changing pretty drastically, but it's more because he's starting quite a bit more forward than anything else. So overall, this kind of project was like the first big like coding, quote unquote coding project that I've done or really tried to tackle. And I got a shout out ChatGPT. I mean, it makes my life so much easier. I went from being a guy that might kind of be able to pull some things using SQL and R, and not really being able to play with the data too much, to just being able to make distribution graphs and make tables and find averages and all of that. So ChatGPT was a big help, going forward. So, kind of my amateur data scientist version of trying to kind of tackle the problem of what is maintaining posture is the idea of maintaining posture even a good idea in the first place.
Well, JP, I don't know if we'll be thanking ChatGPT when they take over the world. So
that is fair.
You're part of the problem right now, okay?
That is fair. Hey, if I don't got to sit through a coding class to be able to do this, I'm all for it.
I do have one question with the slide.
Yeah.
So when are you starting the clicker or the timer of when they start moving forward, when they start moving back, in the sense of the heel plant? So I'm watching this swing, and I've had a lot of conversation with guys talking about like Nelson Cruz, guys that do the toe tap. For me, the toe tap is just a small version of a stride, right? So for me, sure. I don't think the swing like truly starts until heel plant start like is engaged. So are you guys taking from toe tap when he starts moving forward, or are you guys going from heel plant when he starts moving forward? Like, does that make any sense?
Yeah. Yeah, so our downswing definition of kind of where we're starting that position, so that down position is where I took the distances to start. Okay. Downswing is defined as when the bat gets to 10% of its peak velo.
Okay.
Which for the most part is a pretty good tag for a lot of athletes. It kind of gets them to their launch position, or kind of when the trigger happens, right?
That heel plant.
Yeah, right around heel plant. For the most part, it happens like right around 10% of their body weight gets to their front leg is pretty close. So kind of right around heel plant for most guys. This athlete in particular, the tag of downswing is tagged super early because he's got that big like barrel tip. And so he gets to 10% of his peak bat speed super early. So he's probably an outlier, a little bit more of an outlier because of that. But I also still think it's a really good example of somebody that's just throwing their torso at the ball forward. So, yeah, you are correct. Yeah, I still think this is a pretty good example, even with the really big bat tip.
No, well, and that's really good. I like it a lot.
I was thinking too, just like with that guy, I was like thinking, Shohei, where I was like, I feel like people would be like, oh, that guy definitely like is a positive mover. But then I feel like if you actually like break it down, like you have, you'd find it be the other way. Cause it's like,
yeah,
he leans, but he's here, here, here. And then, and then he's at his trigger and it's like, boom.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I, going through this, I think my idea of like what maintaining posture is and like maintaining space has changed a little bit.
I think, wait, we're making new kind of revelations based on data that you're seeing. Like, what?
Whoa. Big if true. I think traditionally the idea of like a stable axis of rotation is probably easier to conceptualize. But I think in reality, it's probably closer to like the axis of rotation for the earth, where there's some like wobble or like inefficiency to some extent. And I think that the kind of next project or kind of next idea is like, okay, if we know that the distance between those points is going to change, does the amount of change, is that affected by like pitch location? Is that affected by point of contact? Is that affected by like, do higher level guys move more often, or are higher level guys moving the same all the time? Like, is that spine moving around the same all the time? Or is it different depending on pitch? Is it different depending on athlete? Does it really have nothing to do? It's just kind of a personal movement preference. I'm not really sure, but I think the kind of idea of just like a stable spine angle to roll or rotate around is probably not accurate.
Well, cause I'm even thinking too, like I got like a clip in my head of A-Rod hitting where it's like, he's early curveball and he just like, he goes, but he just keeps his hands back. And then he like, boom, just finishes out here. Yeah. On dead center. Like there's another one with like Griffey. It's like down. And then it's like, oh, off speed a little bit more, but stays back with it. Right. And then I almost think of an example, but like other guys where it's like, oh, a little bit late on the fastball, but it's just right here. Right. I feel like there's definitely some discrepancies for sure with like pitch selection, different things like that.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because I think coaches focus so much on like, how do you stay back? Right. And what does it mean to stay back? And the coaching verbiage of like, how do you get forward and stay back at the same time? And I think it's kind of interesting that like in the data, okay, like the torso position gets in front of the center of mass more with higher level athletes. So when we're starting to talk about like, how do you hold your backside longer? Well, and how do you hold your backside and go forward? Well, what we're kind of trying to describe, but what it seems like we're trying to describe in reality is, how do you keep your center of mass back long enough to allow your torso to get in front of it, or at least get over that center of mass to give yourself enough space to now, like we've seen, start to kind of lean that torso back a little bit to be able to get the barrel around, versus college guys who a lot of times you start coaching like, okay, keep your weight back longer. You get a guy that's jumping at the ball. They'll just hang back. And then you're like, okay, like you're doing good now. Find kind of the middle ground between hanging back and going too far forward. And they'll normally get their lower half going forward. And their torso will just sit back there forever. And so they kind of get that like angled posture where they're kind of leaning back and now they're underneath everything. And so like finding a way to coach like the center of mass staying in relatively the same spot or staying controlled while allowing the torso to get forward seems to be what a lot of coaches are trying to get at. But like I said, this is just like an amateur data scientist doing amateur work.
I have a challenge for your next down the rabbit hole, JP.
Oh, all right. What do we got?
I would be curious to see what the correlation of good hitters in the different levels are of the amount of distance the front foot travels compared to the amount of distance the head or the like upper sternum travels. So one thing that I think I've been noticing or realizing, and maybe it's just from, you know, selected bias of the specific videos I've looked at and comparisons, but the guys that I've noticed where their head and their foot move at the same rate or travel the same distance or same speed, those are the ones that are losing their back leg, like that coil that they're kind of getting. And the ones where the lead foot, their stride foot, travels at a greater distance or speed than the head does, those are the guys that are able to maintain that rear leg. So again, that's just something that I've kind of looked at and noticed a little bit when I'm like reviewing video and stuff, is what is that correlation of the head and foot? Are they moving together or is that foot moving where that head is barely moving?
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, I'll get on that. Or I'll get ChatGPT on that.
Shout out ChatGPT.
Shout out ChatGPT. So yeah, I don't know. It was an interesting project to kind of fill my time, and kind of something that I thought was applicable to things we talked about last time.
Hell yeah, baby. I love it. Bernsey, do you have anything? I got that one thing that we've talked about, prayer. Oh no.
I got something actually. Definitely more geared for the high school athlete right now. So like I'm in the process right now of just sending out hundreds of schools video of a bunch of different guys, right? Kind of a realization, okay, for the high school athletes that are looking to get recruited, right? You know, I'm getting some replies, and a lot of it is like his video. What kind of character is he? You know, is he a hard worker? Blah 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 blah. Right? Being a good teammate, working hard, work ethic, all that stuff, obviously super important. You gotta realize though, with especially now after COVID and the backlog it's caused, the transfer portal, all that stuff, fucking immensely harder to get recruited, find a place, right? It's also a good thing though, because it's, you know, it's making Division II even way more competitive. It's making JUCO way more competitive, NAIA, D3, all that stuff, right? The only people who fucking replied to the videos though, like, were guys who liked the swing, you know. And I sent out a couple guys, solid video, like left side hitters, EV live between, like, it was like 8 clips, 95 to like 101. And then their fielding video, you know, a couple other different intangibles, like added to one kid's. It was he ran like a 4.77 on the 40. So I thought I'd add that, right? You got to have that shit first. Like, it sucks. It doesn't matter how fucking good a kid you are. You got to fucking hit the ball hard. You got to run fast. You got to be a physical freak. You got to throw the ball hard, yeah. Right? That's ultimately what's going to get your foot through the door. Then that shit does matter. Then it's about me putting my name on a kid. Like, yeah, he's got really high character. He's going to take care of his grades. You know, he's going to work hard for you. He's going to battle over solid stuff. Right. But you have to be recruitable. You have to have something to fucking showcase. And it's just the importance of, like, especially we live in a time of now, just there's just showcase upon showcase. We got PBR, perfect game. Every fucking college under the sun has like 3 showcase times, right? They show tournaments. Don't fucking waste your money on that shit if you don't have anything to showcase. The best thing you can do is get in the gym, get a support staff that's going to fucking help you out and get you where you need to go. Because ultimately, it doesn't matter. You can be the best kid in the world. 85 Exville ain't getting you anywhere, man. You know, sitting 78 to 81 is not getting you anywhere now. It's just not. You have to have the metrics and the intangibles now. It's just it's just where we're at. So yeah, that's kind of just what I wanted to say. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah. When you hear coaches talk about like, oh yeah, I was recruiting this kid and, you know, I went and saw him play and he was just such a good teammate. I knew we had to have him. That coach ain't going out to that game to watch him throw 82 off the mound. No, like he didn't show up at that game because he's throwing 82 and he heard he's a great kid. He's showing up because he's got the numbers. He's good enough to play. And then he's checking on his character. For sure.
It's one of those where, and we've brought it up a lot, like you got to have sexy numbers. You got to be like, if you're going through and let's say it's, you know, you're scrolling through on Instagram and scrolling through on TikTok, like you're going to stop and go back to the previous video or previous thing. Like if it's like, you know, an Instagram model, if it's like somebody there, you're like, oh shit, like let me go back and let me see that. Like you got to have sexy numbers. You got to have something that's catching the eye and making them go to the next step, you know, clicking onto the Instagram title, clicking on like whatever it is. Like you said, they only replied back if they liked the video of the swings to then find out more information on that athlete. Like you got to have the sexy numbies. Got to have them. And yeah. Speaking of sexy numbies, I went through.
What a segue.
You like that?
Well that done.
That was you, bro. That was all you. I went through and I found the average of every single showcase that went on for Prep Baseball Reports. Oh no, on Prep Baseball Reports, and I found the average exit velo, distance, hand speed, bat speed, and rotational acceleration of every grade from seventh graders to seniors that participated in these showcases. I then also went through and found all of those averages, except for hand speed, because honestly, fuck hand speed right now. Like, if you have good bat speed and good rotation, I don't care what your hand speed is. If you have good hand speed but you don't have bat speed and rotation, I don't give a shit. So, went through, and I also found that for all of my guys that are coming in to train with us as well. So right now it's appearing up on the screen. This is also going to be a blog that I'm going to be putting out together as well. So if you're watching this right now, you are going to be getting all of the information where in the blogs I'm going to be putting out like eighth grade one day, freshmen the next day, sophomores. I'm going to slowly build it up. But looking at these numbers, right, we have – one thing that I noticed that kind of stumped me a little bit, JP, like you mentioned earlier, you were looking at the numbers and you're like, why? Like, this isn't accurately representing how I think it should be representing each age group. And the two that I kind of really want to put out there that kind of threw me for a loop are the seniors, and then the seventh graders are the big ones, but then also eighth grade kind of gets lumped in with those seventh graders. So I'm looking at this, and if we're looking at all these numbers, right, if we're going through, if you're looking at the average and the maxes of just the PBR. I keep wanting to say perfect game. Of the PBR, right? For some weird reason, generally, the juniors and the sophomores are having better exit velo numbers than the seniors are. And I was trying to figure that out. I was like, all right, why are juniors and sophomores hitting better than seniors are? Then I thought about it. If you're already committed somewhere and you're a senior, you're not going to be going to a PBR showcase. So essentially, the only seniors that are attending PBR showcases are the ones that are still trying to find homes. Now, when you're a sophomore, junior, or a really good freshman, you're going to be going to these showcases to show that you're a really good freshman, sophomore, or junior. Well, then you reverse that and look at the seventh graders. Like right now in 2022, a seventh grader, the max or the average max velo for a seventh grader was 76.5, and an eighth grader is 80.4. And I'm like, all right, first off, looking at my eighth graders and my middle school guys, that is not even close. Like, I mean, it's kind of close actually, but not as close as like I was liking. Well, then I think about it. What kind of seventh and eighth graders are going to be going to PBR showcases? The really freaking good ones, right? And so that was, I was looking at it and those kind of like skewed the numbers a little bit for me, which is why we're also going to be going through multiple years, 2021, 2022, all the way through. So that way we can get those seniors that were seniors at, in 2021. What were they doing as juniors, and then reverse of that. But going through, I was really proud, of how my guys kind of compare, to the PBR, because also the other caveat is, you got to think of how are they collecting this data and this information as well. PBR generally will do just like 15 swings off of BP, whereas myself, and it's just one show. Like, I mean, I went through again every single showcase, but if one kid only goes to one showcase, they're only capturing 15 of their swings of that one athlete. Whereas at Fast Performance here, all of these numbers are based off of swings off of the machines. And they're based off of multiple and multiple and multiple and multiple and multiple sessions that they've gone through and done. And so, I don't know. I thought it was kind of interesting. I really like looking at trends and data of going back and forth and trying to figure out, like, all right, what is the average sophomore in the state of Colorado? What are they swinging? How does that compare to my guys? Are my guys better? Are my guys worse? What's the trend of that? When those sophomores become juniors, what's the average jump that a sophomore is able to make from their sophomore year to their junior year? Are my guys being consistent with that increase in averages as well? And kind of just going through. So I don't know. I thought it was kind of fun to kind of dilly-dally a little bit into these numbers. And I'm looking really excited to get some more. I've sent this out to UJP, UConnor. So we've got guys in Washington that are able to see this information, guys in Canada that are able to see this information. I also have my buddy John Lampros over at 2-5 Baseball. He's in California. I sent this over to him. So I'm really trying to just get an overall idea. And this is honestly into a bigger picture that I've been working on for a couple of years now. That is something we'll get into another time where maybe I'll have my own down the rabbit hole. But essentially, for the last couple of years, I've been trying to figure out why the average, I think it's close to like 60 to 70% of Colorado athletes that go on to college, generally they come back. I think it's a 60 to 70% rate of kids coming back within the next 2 years. And so a couple of years ago, I sat down and I was like, all right, why is that? How can I train so that doesn't happen to my hitters? So I looked at all the perfect game pitches that have been thrown from 2016 to a couple of years ago, what the average increase of fastball velocity was, the average fastball velocity of each age group and stuff like that. So now we're working on the hitting side of everything. So yeah, kind of a lot of nothing for somebody that doesn't really care. But to me, I don't know, really interesting to try and figure out what these numbers are. But I don't know, any thoughts from you guys on anything that I just kind of went over?
I think the selection bias is an interesting point for sure. Of just like seniors, good seniors are not going to go to a PBR showcase because they already have contracts. They're not contracts. Whatever. They got money. They got muns. So they're already going to be locked in. And I think the other interesting thing too is like your sample, like you said, is going to be a lot larger sample size, and your environment's a lot harder. So the numbers are going to be a lot closer to like your athlete's true talent versus kind of the PBR numbers. But I think it gives a good representation in general of kind of what is the athlete in America look like compared to the athlete in Colorado.
Yeah, I didn't even actually think about the senior thing. That makes complete sense because I was kind of wondering the same thing. But honestly, insane to me that there's seventh grade PBR showcases.
Yeah. Bro, there's not a perfect game started nationally ranking 9 new teams.
What the hell are we doing, man? Like, fuck.
It's those fucking dads must be hyped, though.
Fucking, that's just my wild. Just insane. Should not be a
no.
Like, I think PBR does like good stuff, but like, man, the seventh grade thing, that's just such a cash grab. Like,
yeah, but you don't understand. My kid is the next Ted Williams. You don't understand. He just needs to get in front of some punches. He just hadn't been seen yet.
I bet half those fucking seventh graders are going to quit by the 10th grade.
Yeah, because they're going to all of a sudden suck as 10th graders and be like, oh, I was nationally ranked as a 7th grader. And now I can't even make my JV team.
But I went to 28 PBR showcases.
Yeah.
Bro, my favorite was going through and having a couple of athletes that I had previously worked with that it thought that my prices were way too high, way too high. They are the same ones that have attended 3 showcases with PBR in a matter of like 3 months, and none of their numbers got better. Yet they still ended up spending like $1,200 on showcases in a 3-month span. Weird. And if you were to look at the training that I do, it doesn't even like, I think it would be at like $800 over 3 months. So yeah, I don't know. Kind of crazy. A little wild.
It's like Burn said, maybe the money would be better invested somewhere else. Weird.
Well, shit, boys, you got anything else for the people?
Yeah, I got something. If any of you fine listeners are interested in going down the rabbit hole yourself, there is some open biomech data that Driveline has put out. So there's hitting biomechanics data out there. Just Google the open biomechanics project and it should pop up. You will need some to download some software. It's all free to get access to it, so you can see everything. But if you're interested in rocking some ChatGPT code and doing some biomechanics research on your own, definitely check that out. Love to have more people getting into it. The more people we can get into doing amateur research like this or professional research, the faster we can figure out how the hell to hit the ball more often, more hard.
Fuck yeah, baby. I love it. I'm glad that you guys aren't just doing it for the pitchers.
I know, right? I know. Awesome. Hell yeah.
Well, thank you everybody for tuning in. Until next week, I think next week episode is the 50th of the potty, I believe. I think this is 49, so pretty cool. Pretty cool cuckoo. But outside of that, thank you everybody for tuning in. I appreciate it. And until next week, we shall see you then.